Welcome to Night of the Living Geeks. If you geek out over it, we've got a podcast for it.
All right, we're going to start because I'm sleepy already.
Whenever you are. I've been waiting for you to start.
I've been waiting for you guys to shut the fuck up.
God, I love you, Nick.
I'm a sassy Nick tonight.
Sweet.
No, probably not. I'm actually a very sleepy Nick, so it's going to be me doing this for a while. I'll be doing my Fraser Crane impression. I'm listening. Mm-hmm. All right, anyway, welcome to another Outwit Outplay. Don't make me do it again. Welcome to another Outwit Outplay Outcast on Survivor Podcast on the Night of Living Geeks Network. I am Nick. That is Andy over there, and that is Brian over there, and I am very sleepy, so we're going to get right to the heart of this. I really like this episode.
Are you pointing at us when you say that?
Sure. I'm pointing one finger roughly in the direction of Branham and one finger roughly in the direction of Phoenix.
Gotta hope they're finger guns.
Sure, they are now. All right, yeah, as I was saying, though, I really like this. I thought this was a good initial kickoff to the season. All the tribes were pre-color coded already again. And people were just throwing fruit straight into the ocean.
Yeah, they were.
For the marooning, I was disappointed because when I was watching it, I thought it was going to be one thing, and then it was another, and I was like, oh man, but my idea was better. Like, you do the marooning, right? But then you have it so that, like, they toss stuff over, but you can choose when to get your team off the boat and go to the torch. So, like, it's a pro-con decision for you during the marooning. Like, do you stay and get the fruit, which is, like, the immediate reward, or do you hop onto that boat and get there and get the torch and get the awesome fire-making kit right away? Like, they get a pro-con of, do I go, and like, a little bit of chicken? You know, like, when do we all go? How long can we all stay? That kind of a thing.
In hindsight, the way it would have worked out is you just send your entire team into the water and then collect all of the food that everyone throws willy-nilly.
Right?
Yeah.
Andy, it kind of was what you said. There's no reason they couldn't have just gotten in the boat and taken off whenever they felt like it.
They had, like, two minutes.
He didn't say they couldn't leave. He said you have to get off the boat. The big boat.
I guess it's true. And if the hustlers just, like, if they stuck around and got all of the fruit out of the water, like, who gives a shit? It's kind of the same thing. That's true, Nick.
Well, hopefully the hustlers won't have to. It's true, me? He was the one who made the point. Brian made the point.
Yeah, well.
I see what you're saying. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I'll take the credit. I am, after all, a white man. What was I going to say next? Oh, yeah. No, the hustlers. Let's really hope for their sake that they don't have to do any more paddling challenges. They were not very good at that.
I think it's just me, or did they pull the boat in backward?
Yeah, they did. No, I mean, they had no idea what they were doing, so they were just kind of spinning around out there. That's why Ryan had to give the order, spin it to the right, spin it to the right, like he was doing the Cupid shuffle. Speaking of Ryan, I don't know how I feel about this guy. He's wearing a long sleeve turtleneck the entire time. It's like, all right, dude, talk about a tryhard.
Super skinny dude?
Yeah.
I think he comes off constantly as trying way too hard to be that self-deprecating, skeevy kind of guy. And it's like, that's not charming. That feels icky. And like, you just, none of it came off well. And like, his bios seemed kind of funny and his video seemed kind of funny. But actually watching him in this episode, I was like, I'm going to distance myself from you with this 10-foot pole right here.
Yeah, he just doesn't. It comes across as fake or whatever. I don't know. It could just be his first impression and he's really nervous. And maybe once he chills out and gets to know the folks around him, he'll be better. But I'm going to hold on to him.
I don't like that I'm cool because I'm a loser thing.
Yeah.
I'm a bellhop.
Yeah, there's definitely that going on. Like, yeah. That I'm going to be the first guy to wear a turtleneck was like kind of funny. But now I'm like, you don't even wear, like, part of me thinks, he doesn't even wear turtlenecks. He just wanted to do that. He probably went out and bought that turtleneck just so he could be funny like that.
Yeah, it did look pretty new.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it just, the whole thing, like, so much about him just feels fake. Which is especially alarming considering this is Survivor, where, like, half of everything you see on this is fake.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, his tribe seems pretty with it, so unless something goes wrong, he may be around for a little while. Well, at least until the first shuffle.
Yeah, in week 4. Fingers crossed.
Nah, there's no way they do that. They have, what, 18 people, so as soon as it gets down to 16, they're going to shuffle it to two tribes of eight?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm good at math. Uh-huh. I'm real good at math, you guys.
You know who I did like in their videos and the bios, and then I ended up liking on the episode was Mike.
Which one's he? Oh,
which one's that?
Yeah, he's the sex doctor.
He's Dr. Dad Bod.
Right. Yeah. I liked him because I was like, yeah, this guy's a dork.
Yeah. Well, I love his voice because he sounds, you know, I just want to be friends with everyone, and I want to do real well with my kids. I don't want them to see me go out first. He just seems so gentle and meek. Like, I don't know if you've watched BoJack Horseman, but he strikes me as being, I don't remember the name of the mouse all of a sudden. Oh, that makes me sad. I'm going to have to watch it again. But there's a mouse character in it in this season, and he reminds me of that. Check your local listings for time and channel.
Like, I'm willing to bet he has... this is probably a voice that started out practice, but now has become genuine, because... I imagine if I go to a doctor for my dick not working, I wouldn't want him to come off as confrontational or judgment. Like, he has to have a very passive, non-judgmental voice by nature. Like, his tone has to be like, I just because my dick works great doesn't mean I expect yours to as well. Let's all get, you know, working dicks together here. You know, like it's a very sensitive situation to be a dick doctor.
He just seems very
really good point.
He just seems very pleasant, and I would like him to read Ray Bradbury's short stories to me before I go to bed. I think that would be the perfect way. A warm glass of milk, he would pat me on the head and just start reading. I was going to say iRobot, but that's the other one. That's Asimov. It's all the same, though. Right?
I feel like more like he'd be reading Shel Silverstein poems.
Oh, that'd be great. He'd talk about like where sidewalk ends and Lucario the lion and that king who ate all the peanut butter sandwiches and the light in the attic. Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, no, the giving tree. That'd be a good one for him.
Oh, he'd be reading the giving tree. That tree just gave so much. Was there anyone else who really stood out to you guys? I've got a couple, but you guys go first.
Alan was a huge disappointment.
That's what I was going to say. Alan's a fucking loon.
Yeah, I really liked him on day one. Like, day one, he seemed really together. He's like, all right, I'm gonna make an alliance with Ben so that Ben can pander to the American public about God and country and service. I really liked that initial instinct. That was really good. And then, you know, day two rolls around, and he's just super paranoid. Now, admittedly... JP and Ashley they're not bad, like bad people, bad anything like that, but they are bad at this game because they're just flirting in front of everyone, and that's a great way to get one of you voted off. And so
were they? I think that was all Alan, because nobody else seemed to think that they
were talking together all the time, and they were having their own little secret club. I wouldn't be surprised if they had their own little language.
Like, you know, there was like 5 minutes of people talking to each other.
Maybe I'm not sure that I saw flirting necessarily, but you can. I mean, they've been together all of a day, maybe two. And there's people I've known way longer than that I don't have that like level of rapport and chemistry with. Like, so whether or not it's flirting, they have good chemistry. And if they're willing to have that good chemistry openly, you got to nip that in the bud. Even if it's not flirting, even if it's not power couple, you're like, these two get along and they're gonna play together.
Yeah,
it doesn't gotta be power couple. Doesn't gotta be, you know. Don't gotta be into each other, but they're gonna play together. And
that's bullshit. That's not what they're saying. I guarantee you, if it was two dudes or two women, nobody would have thought anything about it.
I don't know, man. People do that, like on the the Millennials versus Gen X, man. People saw the Trinity Alliance and stuff. Like people see. No, it was Triforce.
That wasn't real. That was the two of them, and then what's her face hanging on?
Yeah, but that's the thing. It was two dudes, and people identified that. They just couldn't do anything about it. I mean, people do identify dude on dude and girl on girl chemistry. I try to not make that go that way, but goddamn, Brian just giggled at everything.
That's because you're both bad people. Regardless, though, there was an obvious connection between the two and Alan. Like, I actually appreciate what he was trying to do. He just went way too far in doing it. Like, he was trying to rattle and be like, one of you knows something. All right, let me just... Yeah. I don't know if either of you saw Ozark. Also on Netflix, another Netflix original, characters welcome. But there's a really great scene in the first season, first episode, really, where, like, the mob boss is just, like, yelling at everyone and getting them to confess to crimes that they didn't commit, that sort of thing. And it really was just a fishing expedition. And it's like, that's what Alan was trying to do, and I appreciate that. But when you go so far... That, what was his name? It's not JP, that's the other tribe.
Yeah, it was JP.
Oh, no, it was JP, I'm yeah, sorry, yeah, JP. I'm thinking of,
You're thinking of Patrick.
No, I'm thinking of over on Hustler's tribe, there's another super handsome guy, Dr. Abs.
It is the Hustlers. No, that was the Heroes. Damn it, yeah. See, I don't know.
See? How dare you?
You're thinking of Devin Pinto.
Devin, thank you, yeah, Devin, Mr. D8 pack. I don't know. I'll come up with a name for him other than Devin. I don't care. Regardless, though, like, when you go so far that JP is like, you know what? I'm just going to whip it out in front of everyone and show my bare ass. And then, Alan, like, rummages through the dude's underwear right there on the beach.
Yeah.
Come on. That's a little too far. His pants. Yeah, but that's still a little bit too far. Although I'm sure Ashley was just like, I'm down for this.
Ashley's like, this is what I wanted to start, and Alan just got me there. Yeah, I mean, Alan's idea, like his notion was good, his perception was good, the plan was good, even, but the execution was bad. Like, he noticed the power couple, and the plan was like, put the seed in people's head that one of them has an idol, and it makes them both targets. Like, whether or not they have it, his plan was, get the rest of the tribe to think that one of those two has an idol. And then you're done. Like, just put in the suspicion. Like, that's a great idea, but that's a terrible way to do it. Like, stand there and aggressively accuse him of it until he strips on the beach. No, talk to everybody else. Go talk to the tribe. Be like, hey, you know, I saw JP and Ashley talking. I think one of them flashed the other one from something from the pocket. Like, you know, be careful. And that's all you got to do. Just do that with everybody. Just subtly. You don't got to go around and, like, point motherfucker, like, fingers at people.
Speaking of the same, kind of the same thing, we have...
Oh, you're going to say what I was going to.
Joe and Mike?
Yes, I think that's their names, I don't know.
Yeah, Joe, the one whose face I don't like, and my initial instinct was correct, and Mike, the guy that we all seem to really like, because he's so nice and mild. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Joe and Mike, well... It's a little hard to judge because Mike really was actually out there searching for an idol. So when Joe's like, well, no, because Joe's whole point in confronting him was to say, I know you were going for an idol. So it is a little bit hard, but still, it's like, this guy is being super alpha. You know what I mean? Like, oh, Mike, did you find one? Did you find one? I'm just saying, I know you looked for one. We're going to talk man to man. But, you know, Mike... Held his own and, you know, handled the situation well as Mr. Mousy Man can be expected to do.
See, but I mean, Joe started there, but then he moved on to, like, you telling me you searched this whole island, you didn't find it, you mapped this flight, and he told the tribe, like, I bet you could get him to make a map. Like, he started out, like, you know, you can tell me man to man, to going on to, like, I know you have it, just tell me, do it, okay, you have it, you don't have to tell me, it's fine, I know you have it. And, like, at that point, there's literally nothing Mike can do. Like, Joe has already made his mind and is aggressively telling him that he's made his mind up. But Mike correctly identifies what the takeaway is. Like, at that point, it doesn't matter whether or not he has it. It doesn't matter that he's been searching. Like, at that point, Joe is convinced, so who gives a fuck whether he actually has it or not.
The thing I thought was weird is that, of course, Mike could draw a map. He was literally holding a map. Like, finally get to see something that I've always suspected, but yeah, when they arrive at camp, they have a map of here's where your water is, here's where tree mail is, here's where everything is. I was like, all right, that's cool. Yeah,
they kind of need to know that.
I always figured, I mean...
What are you going
to do? Well, I always figured it wasn't too far away, and then they would go and explore and find it. That was just my assumption for a long time, and I was like, you know what? I know they get a map to where they're going. I bet you that map actually has all that other stuff on there.
I didn't like the douchey way he was like, you know, everyone knows you're looking. Of course they fucking do.
Yeah.
Come on. Everyone knows damn well when someone at the beginning of the game goes off by themselves, they're looking for the fucking idol. It's not a secret. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And at least half of them are looking just as aggressively. They're just not getting called out for it.
Yeah, that's why it's unfair. And at least he came back holding wood and that pail of water and whatnot. So, you know, he was out there looking, but at least he did stuff.
I think Mike didn't back down, though. It was just then he went to the confessional and was like, what a dick.
Come on, man. Give me a break. Let's see. So what else we've got here? We have, going into the immunity challenge when Jeff is explaining the rules and whatnot, I thought it was funny. I don't understand why he did it. I thought it was funny that he had to stop and explain that ties are back in because this season was filmed while the previous season was airing, so the people who are on this island right now don't know that ties were never actually in the first place, and that they were suspended last season.
Why didn't they have him like say that during the narration at the beginning of the episode?
Yeah, that really would
have made more sense.
Yeah.
Because at the beginning you're trying to hype him up, not like get into the minutia of the rules for the season.
Well, but that's a... I don't know why they'd like be like happy to announce it. Like, it's stupid. It was better when there was the dumbass revoting with the tie thing.
Yeah.
I honestly don't even remember how it worked. But that's fine. I don't care. Yeah. Ties come up very infrequently.
They skip the second vote and go straight to the rocks.
Oh, whatever. It's all good. The challenge itself was cool. I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah. You had to like... I loved it. Because you had the little go-kart part. And then, so you had to pull... That was awesome. That looks so much fun. And then you would like crash into a pile of straw for... What practical reason? None. You know what's cool about it, though? It's awesome. Yes, that's a tautology. I don't care. It's cool because it's awesome. But then they had to, run up the thing and go... Whoever got there first got to pick which puzzle they wanted to solve. And the heroes get there first and pick... I think they ended up picking the second hardest one. Like, I don't think they picked the hardest. Which, still, you should pick the easy one.
They picked the longest one, which is dumb.
Yeah, but the
So there's the three, right? There's the one that's like Plinko, kind of with like the diamonds around it, but it has a long bar near the end that you have to kind of like squeak around. And then there's the ones the heroes took, which is like the big long maze, but only has like one or two exposed parts kind of near the end. And there was like a kind of a wall that was missing on either side near the end. So there is an opening, but that's like it was maybe, I don't know, 6 inches worth of opening that the ball could have fallen out of on a turn you had to make. So not really that hard to keep it safe. But it was a really long maze. And then the last one was the healer's just like a straight rail.
A straight fucking line. These stupid assholes on both of the first two tribes didn't take the one. It's a simple straight fucking line. How fucking stupid was that?
I looked at that
at
first.
Yeah, that's the one I would have picked.
I looked at that at first and I was just like, oh, there's got to be a trick on this one, right? Like, it's got to be like...
That's what I was thinking. Like, why did they not take this? Yeah, it's got to be something special.
You know, I saw, okay, you know, there's no railing or whatever, so the ball can fall off. But then one of the healers, and unfortunately I don't remember who it was, just that it was a woman, she said, oh, you see that little gap? Let it roll along the wall until you get to the gap, and then flip it over. And then they just got 1, 2, 3, and they won hands down.
I don't know, that was either Rourke or Jessica. I don't remember which one did that.
I actually think it might have been the slightly older one. Unfortunately, we have a list of all the people's names.
Wasn't the Hustlers that won the third one?
Healers won first, and then Hustlers won, and then Heroes lost.
Yeah.
I think it was Dez. I don't know. Yeah, I would go back and watch, but it's like, it's fine.
In hindsight, it's easy to tell which one was the wrong one. Because, I mean, the heroes, I think it was a trap, though. The heroes, like, they were never in danger of losing a ball. They never dropped a ball, you know, and every time they got towards the end, it didn't take them that long to sink it. But that maze just took forever. They were just taking a long time getting it. I don't think it was a tricky maze especially either. It was so fucking long. And I think seeing it, it's a trap. Like, you see the walls, you're like, oh, this one, I don't have to worry about dropping a ball, it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. But I still think,
it's
though.
So bad.
I'm going to say I still think that it's an easier puzzle to do and a faster puzzle to do than the Hustler puzzle. Like that one with the little diamond shapes all over the place. That's...
Obviously not.
Well, they may just be better at it.
Yeah, that's true too. Can't account for skill.
Anyway, we got a wonderful, wonderful shot at the end there of Chrissy just puking her guts out. I was like, I thought they would cut away or something, but no, they just decided let's show it.
That's kind of pushing it, puking her guts out. She let out like a tiny little...
I will say I didn't really understand, like, why the hell are you guys showing this? And then I realized, we forgot to mention, Ryan found a super idol. And it was, last week, it is a super idol that can only be used on this first week here, and you have to give it to the losing tribe. And that must be why he gave it to her. Because he doesn't know anyone on the other tribe, but he knows, she puked, therefore she's possibly weak and in a bad position. I will give it to her. She may save herself.
Yeah, and they didn't single her out with Katrina because she puked, but just because they're old. But I mean, that was a good call. That was a good idea of a person to give it to, and it probably definitely could have mattered.
Oh, yeah. He put it in play. I'll give it to that. But yeah, they decided to go for young Jane Lynch instead of Pukes McGee, and so we lose whatever. Katrina? Was that her name? Yeah, we lose Katrina. We hardly knew ye.
I was really, really surprised that Chrissy didn't play for Katrina, because Chrissy...
Right?
Chrissy, even now, not that she's singled out with the rest of them, but like, yeah, now she is the only old person on that tribe, and it's real easy, and she's the one who threw up. Like, Katrina's maybe less physically able, maybe it was just a strength play, but yeah, no, if the heroes lose, I mean, unless Alan continues to go batshit, like, it's Chrissy, it's easy, you're putting out Chrissy. So as long as Alan can fall back in line, like, done.
I'm trying to remember,
I don't know why you do that.
Who else had votes? I know it was 5-1, but I don't remember who that one or who Katrina voted for.
Katrina Christy, voted it? For. Oh yeah, who did she vote Christy. For? Christy. She vote for Chrissy.
Yeah, then that would be why she didn't use it. Because if she did, she would be going home.
She was like, "Well, fuck you,
dumb moron." I'm gonna jump on my sword on day 3. And use this thing so that I can make a game-changing move for myself.
It'll be on season 68, Game Changers 2.
Good job. You're wondering, like, gosh, why didn't she use it, Andy? Huh.
Well, I didn't think of that. I was thinking the same thing until I just realized, like, oh. Because, you know, like, what? It's not like there's, like, really big bonds you're going to be breaking. Like, it was really clear, like, they're... really good chance it could have gone to, I don't know, whoever the hell else they were deciding.
No, I get what you're saying, but once she saw that...
It's not like there's, like, you know, strong fucking lines they gotta keep track of, you know.
Like, if Katrina had voted for Alan, she would probably have played it, but she voted for Chrissy, and therefore it would be suicide, so she did not. Before we get to fantasy, there's one more person.
The vote was for Ashley, not Chrissy.
Oh, that's weird. Well. Okay, then I wonder why she did that.
Yeah, why the hell did she do that then?
Great job. Congrats, Andy. We just spent 5 minutes talking about something that doesn't matter, and it wasn't Star Trek this time.
It took that long to look it up.
Oh, I was about to, and then you started the show, so.
That's all good. Anyway, there was one person I wanted to talk about real fast before we go to fantasy, and that's Allie. I just really like where her head's at. She makes sense, and she seems to...
Yeah, which one is she?
She is the black woman on the Hustler tribe, I believe. Hold on one second, I will double check. Yeah,
the executive assistant.
Yeah, oh, well, apparently the celebrity assistant. Although, it's a YouTube celebrity, so... Yeah, she's in good shape, too.
Not like the other one, though. Like, which one's the super buff one?
Desi,
okay. So it's not the other one. Okay, see?
Yeah.
No, I do love Allie, because Allie was, like, hanging out with people on the beach, and she's like, this Patrick guy seems charming and able-bodied, but also kind of stupid, so I'm going to befriend him. Which is, yeah, that's what you do. That's how Fishback was supposedly going to win.
Yeah. So
not a bad strategy to the end, at least.
And actually, that's what Ryan did, too, come to think of it. Ryan just now, all of a sudden, decides to make friends with... I want to call him Devo, but that's because I don't remember his name. Devin. There we go, Devin.
I mean, you're close. You're only losing one letter.
It's close. Yeah, Devo. He picked Devin to tell him, hey, look, I've got this advantage. And sure enough, Devin got super stoked, bruh. Oh my god, a gnarly wave hanged 10. Those are the only surfing terms I know.
Man, see, here's the thing. I see those people and I stereotype them like that too. Except the Millennials Gen X season, Jay turned out to actually be pretty damn smart at this game. And we were laughing at him for half of that season. But then after the merge, he made some smart decisions and had a good game.
Laughing at him the whole time, but all right.
I was laughing with him.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway.
So this thing is, I look at these guys and I'm like, I don't know, like, do I write them off, or is the chance they're not totally brain dead in there like I expect them to be after crashing into a wave so many times in their life? I don't know.
Oh, I mean, he's probably dumb as a box of rocks, but you know what? You don't need to be smart to win this game. You just need to be good.
God, that's true.
Why did I... I shouldn't have added Alan. I should have known. He's probably had like 4, 5, 10, 20 concussions in his life. He's going to have rage issues.
Ooh, I haven't thought of that.
I didn't think about that. I'm dropping him anyways.
Well, that's crazy. A good segue, because that brings us into fantasy, and you do all the talking now, because I just don't feel like it.
yeah, we had 4 bets. Oh, so we can go to widowplayoutcast.com. On the left, you hit a button that says fantasy. You'll get our breakdown of who our starting teams was. We'll get points for all that kind of stuff. It's all there, in case this goes by too fast. But we had 4 bets going. First one was the Deadpool. We each pick a player, and the first one to go out gets their host, who picked them 3 points. I picked Lauren, Brian picked Simone, and Nick picked Jack, so we all lost that one.
We'll, who the hell is
push
Jack?
Push that. Nick, oh, sorry, Nick picked Joe. Joe.
I don't like his face.
we have a drop your buff bet, so if Jeff comes on that episode and says drop your buffs, the tribes are mixing up, then the person who picked that week gets the point. Nick picked episode 3, Brian picked episode 5, and I picked myself episode 4.
That's I'm definitely not going to win that one. I just want to point out.
Maybe. I don't know. Probably not. We had one for week 1 immunity. The super idol. Will it matter? Brian and I said no. Nick said yes. So Brian and I get points. It didn't matter at all. And in fact, I think it should have mattered and didn't. But whatever. And then we also all picked tribe that was going to lose the first immunity. Nick picked healers. I picked hustlers. And Brian picked heroes. And the heroes lost. So Brian gets 3 points off of that. Brian's then got 6 points off of the bets. He gets 1 point from Patrick, 2 points from Desi, and 6 from Chrissy, because Chrissy won tribal reward on the marooning, secured an advantage, and survived pre-merge tribal. So that's a 6-point day out of Chrissy early on. So Brian's surging out to the lead with 15 points. I got 4 from Cole. Or sorry, I got 2 from Cole, 4 from JP, and 4 from Alan. JP and Alan, because they survived tribal and won a thing, and Cole, the healers, won both things, and I got 3 from Vet, so it gives me 13 on the week. Not too shabby, but I'm not too happy about 2 of my tribe members going to tribal right away. Nick started out with 2 healers and a hustler, so he's got 2, 2, and 3 with 0 from Vets. So Nick's sitting at 7, which isn't too bad. Just Brian and I got out to quick starts this season. So
it happens.
It's Nick with 7, me with 13, Brian with 15, and again, at witoutplayoutcast.com on the left, click on fantasy, and it'll have a breakdown of what all the scoring was and that kind of thing. But yeah, Nick, you're first on the waiver wire. You have Rourke, Mike, and Ryan. Anybody want to drop?
Actually, yeah. So I love Rourke. I'm going to keep her. I like Mike. I'm going to keep him. Ryan, I don't really like him all that much. So you know what? I'm going to drop him. And instead, I should grab a hero. But the folks left right now are Ashley and Ben. And no thank you. For Ben. Ashley, I think she's all right, but I don't like her position right now. She's too close to JP. Yeah. So I'm going to be smart, and instead I'm going to just take the person that I kind of want to cheer for. So I'm taking Ollie. Allie.
Yeah, not bad. If you weren't going to grab her, I was, because she had a good episode 1.
Yeah, I like where her head's at.
Yeah, I'm next on waivers. I got JP, Cole, and Alan. I like Cole. Cole seems cool. I like JP. He's not in a good position, but I mean, if you got the dedication to drop Trow, everybody on that tribe believes him now. So, I mean, if it was a showdown between who you believe, between Alan and JP, JP instantly won that one by just here's my pants, taking them off. Here you go, Alan. Go through them. So that means I'm going to drop Alan, because you did not come away from that looking good.
No, he did not.
And I don't see Alan playing a Debbie game where he can do crazy shit and get away with it because he's just kooky Debbie, and I don't see him playing an Abby game where he can be spicy Brazilian and get away with it. So he's just going to come up as crazy. So I'm going to drop Alan, and I'm going to add Devin Pinto. Because this season, I am all about buff dudes. So I've got JP, Cole, and Devin Pinto. I have the 3 of the 4 most buff dudes on the season, and I'm feeling good about it. Buff dude tribe, making it happen. I'm reversing my previous big boob trend to go with the buff dude trend. I'm hoping to work out. Brian, you're winning, so you're last. You have Patrick, Desi, and Chrissy. So you have Ginger, Token Black Woman, and Vomits McGee. You want to keep them all?
Pukes McGee, thank you.
Pukes McGee, that's Pukes right. McGee. Sorry.
Yeah. I feel like maybe I should drop Pukes McGee because she just let herself be on the bottom like a dumbass. But, you know, they're probably not going to lose again. You know?
Yeah.
They hardly ever lose twice in a row immunity challenges, you know, when there's three of them especially. So yeah, I'm just going to keep what I... Huh?
The odds are against it losing twice in a row.
Yeah. So I'm going to keep what I got, but I'm going to use this opportunity to explain what I was telling you guys about why everyone this season is stupid again. First of all, the first part where they're all stupid, at least the heroes and hustlers, for picking the much harder fucking mazes, you idiots.
Yeah, we went over that.
And then all of the heroes are especially stupid because Alan, during Tribal Council, like, just explicitly stated, if you have a secret, I'm going to tell everyone. And they didn't kick him out for that. Like, are you fucking retarded? Why would you keep someone like that around? Stupid bastards.
You know who I don't like on the Heroes Tribe that you have is Chrissy, because we're like 3 minutes into the episode, and Chrissy's like, I'm on the Hero Tribe. That sounds about right. Like, wow, somebody's got an ego on.
Oh my god, everyone this episode that had a confessional went and had to go and like own their tribe. Like, yeah, I'm a healer. Yeah, oh, I'm a hero. Look at me. Yeah, I hustle. Yeah, that's right. I'm a badass. Every single one of them.
That's what I was saying last week. You know, we write off these gimmicks like they don't really matter, but when you make it about an identity that then you're allowed to buy into, then it's
but it doesn't matter. Actually change how they play. It just changes how they talk about themselves.
I'm going to pay more attention because I think it does. You know, you talk about Braun Strong and Blue Collar and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it matters more often than it really should, considering their dumb gimmicks sometimes.
Well, see, but one of the healers, I don't remember who, said,
Joe,
you know, you got to put others before yourself. Like, well, you're not gonna fucking lose.
I think we're talking about Joe, the parole officer, who was like a probation officer, whatever, it's all the same thing, who was like, I'm a healer, but I'm not really a healer out here, because out here, I'm going to win me $1 million. And I'm just like, all right,
he's like,
buddy.
They're all my victims.
Yeah, I was like, when you have, oh yeah, he's like, healers lead with their hearts, I lead with my brain, it's really easy to manipulate people, and they're all my victims. I'm like, I don't think that's going to last very long. You try that, buddy.
That dude's a doctor. I'm pretty sure he has a good brain, too.
Yeah. You can't. And then you're like, I feel like he decided, all right, I'm just going to flat out intimidate Mike here. I'm going to show him how big and tough I am. And I know how smart I am, too. I'm going to show him I know he was looking for an idol. And then it's like, instead of cowering, Mike was just like, well. That's really interesting, but, you know, I got this wood here, so I'm just gonna... All right, thank you. I'm gonna go back up to the council now. And by council, I mean beach, because it's the middle of the episode, not the end.
I imagine Mike is really difficult to intimidate, because he's probably ridiculously rich. So, like, that's great. That's great that you think this about me. I don't care. I have a, you know, 18-bedroom house, and...
I have a really fulfilling like, life and some good kids who, you know, I'm here to play for them. You know, everything's great. Yeah, I'm a winner in
life. I've got a good life.
And, yeah.
And Joe, if your dick wasn't working, how much would you pay to get it fixed? That's how much you're going to pay me. Right? Like,
$1 million, probably.
Probably having a good life. So if some dude comes and tries to get aggressive with him over getting some wood and some water, like...
Well, more to the point. Bro. More to the point, it's like, you know, you're on that beach and someone's trying to, like, tough guy you. You're just like, all right, you know, this is TV. Who cares? You know what I mean? Like, you know, I get voted out first. That sucks. I have to explain to my family, like, yeah, I got voted out first. I'm sorry, guys. I tried really hard. But, you know, there was just this A-type personality who, you know, really had it in for me. So what could I do? So, you know, I love you guys. And I guess I'm going to go back to work and everything's going to be great. Like, what? Why would he get riled up about that?
What the hell are you talking about?
That's my mic impression. You know what? I got voted off first. So yeah, like, if somebody comes at you like that, it's like, who cares? There's more important things. Now, if it's day 30 some odd and he hasn't eaten for the last 3 days, and someone comes at him again, maybe then he's going to be a little snippy. But even then, I still have a feeling he's just going to give him a nice Hanukkah card and call it a day.
So, what was your guys' favorite line from this episode? Mine was, the biggest fire we've ever seen. Like, really? This 2-foot diameter fire is the biggest fire you've ever seen?
No, my thought was, did you even ask anybody else, or are you just making that assumption on everyone's behalf?
I actually don't know what my favorite line would be. You got me unawares. I'm going to just say whatever Rourke said, because she's pretty.
I don't know. I was being amateur.
All right. Is there anything else anyone wants to bring up before we wrap it up?
No.
One more thing. Allens, I was watching them for a while. Like, you've been there for one day. What? Watching them for a while.
For a day?
That's why I dropped him.
Yeah. I don't know. He, like, I am impressed with the amount of people who've decided to play and play hard. I'm not really impressed with the skill with which they have decided to play and play hard.
Yeah. We're also coming off of a really, really good skillful season, so it's...
Like I said, stupid. No, I mean, I don't want to go that far. Like, I've really enjoyed this episode, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. But you are right. It is a bit of a tough act to follow. That said, you can't really judge a season by literally episode one. Like it could still be great. Well, that's what I'm thinking it's going to be. Or it could be a garbage. Who knows? But I'm expecting a solid B+.
Good.
Yay. Okay. Well, in that case, we will see everyone next... Oh, no. You guys will see everyone next week. I actually am the first one to ditch out. I've got another trivia night on Thursday night. They do them up at the car place up the street.
You son of a bitch.
Is it themed?
Yeah, it's horror themed this time. And I don't know anything about horror, but what I do know is they make a pretty nice cocktail and you get one for free. And I just want to hang out with my friends. So yeah, the friends that I do trivia with on Mondays. We are going to be doing this Thursday, so you guys get to do next episode. Hooray. I'll leave notes, though, because, I'm a helpful person.
We'll mention them, maybe.
Yeah. If you do.
I will.
Great, great, great. All right, in that case, you guys will see everyone else next week. In the meantime, I love you. Stay safe out there. Goodbye.
This has been a Night of the Living Geeks production. For more information and content, visit NLTLG.com.